Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Morning, Southeastern Connecticut. Hope everybody's doing well today. A little chill to the air this morning as we woke up on this beautiful Saturday, November 4th, 2017. Thanksgiving's coming up 2 weeks, 3 weeks from last, I think it's 3 weeks from last Thursday. So get ready. The family's coming in and get ready to cook, I guess, or unless you're going to visit and everything else. My name's Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire.com. My phone number during the week is 860-415-9614. Right now, my phone number is 860-464-9490 if you have any questions. Next week's show, we're going to be talking all about Medicare. It's the Medicare sign-up period for the supplemental and whatnot. If you're over 65, chances are you're on Medicare unless you're still working on your company's plan. And I'll have my first guest next week who's an expert on Medicare and all the supplemental policies that are out there. I don't get involved in that area. I think it's a specialty area. And if you're a generalist, you do nobody a favor by getting involved in specialist areas. You have to keep up with it and be going to the seminars and whatnot. My clients who I've used with him have raved about him, how much money he saved them. And so next week I'll have Stephen Clark from the Diversified Group here in Mystic. At my down the road from my office, I'll be here. Steve and Jeannie run Diversified. Jeannie does the health plans, and Stephen handles the Medicare stuff. So Stephen will be on. We'll be talking about Medicare during the sign-up period. All you young people, I know you're rolling your eyes as you drive your car because I don't need Medicare. But if you're not employed and you're paying for Obamacare, when you turn the good thing about turning 65 is you get to go on Medicare. You know, you still have to pay for supplemental if that's what you want, and they'll take the money right out of Social Security. But it's something that a lot of seniors or anybody north of 60, your parents, your grandparents, or yourselves should find interesting next week. So I'll have Stephen Clark on talking about that, and I'm looking forward to it. The name of the show, this show, my show, is called Retirement, Life, and Investing, which my wife tells me, and I agree with her, is basically I could talk about just about anything I want, and I do. This week I had my annual physical. I turned 60 and this year, and so now my wife has me going annually for a physical, and I'm proud to say that Dr. Golden, my primary doctor, he's like old school. He's 64, and I don't get a PA. I actually have a doctor doing my physical, which is, as you know, in the medical field, the PAs are taking over just to save costs and whatnot. And I think PAs are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But Dr. Golden and me, we're old school, and he sits there and asks me a zillion questions and how I'm doing. And this week he asked me about, have you been depressed at all? Has anything been bothering you? And I never remember those questions from years ago, but it must be part of the new regimen. And I looked him in the eye and I said, yeah, doc, I've been kind of depressed. What's wrong? And I go, Yankees lost the game 7 to the Houston Astros, and I was kind of bummed out for a day or two. And he looked at me and he practically hit me with the stethoscope. He said, you're an idiot. I said, I know. But in any way, He tried to talk me into a colonoscopy, which I can't say the word, which makes me most nervous because like most men, I'm just a big baby. I'm afraid of doctors. I'm afraid of instruments. I hate going to the doctor's office, but you know, it is what it is. So I said, well, doc, how many have you had? And he told me, and I said, you know what? I said, all right, if you've done it and you think I should do it, catch something early, I'll go do it. But, I'm scared stiff. So if anybody's gone through it out there and can tell me a good reason why I should do it, please call. If you've had a situation where it's worked out great, please call. If you haven't, don't call. No, I'm just kidding. Call it no matter what. 860-464-9490. Now they're saying like north of 50, you should get one done if cancer runs in your family. He says it doesn't matter if cancer runs or not. He says you should get it done, probably for environmental reasons. I don't know. But it got me thinking about my doctor story. As you know, I have all these stupid, crazy stories in my life, things that have happened. And when you do a radio show like this, you start thinking back at stuff that's happening. My producer's smiling because he knows it's a doozy. So one time, my doctor friend Tom, a very handsome guy. I mean, this guy looks like a movie star. I'm sure all the nurses were in love with him. He says, "Hey, you want to come over? Well, I got a big poker game going, right?" I said, "Sure. I'd love to go, you know." He goes, "Some guys from work, so just, they might blow off steam, but don't pay attention." I said, "Fine, everything. More than happy to go." So we get out to his place. I think it was Groton Long Point, wherever it was, and all these guys are gathered around. There's like 16 of them playing poker. Every one of them was a doctor, except me. Every one of them was drinking, except me, because I don't drink. So it was a very interesting evening. You know, you could tell who the little cutthroats were. You know, they're checking their cards. You could see them calculating the odds on every hand and going through it. I could see who the killers were. You know, there were three or four of them on the left side were like, and the other guys were just wanting to get drunk, I think, you know. They're all doctors. They're all blowing off steam. Great. Good for them. Just don't drive home, right? So as the evening went on and on and on, they got drunker and drunker and drunker. And the story started flowing, right? And they'd look over at me because they knew I wasn't part of the brethren. And I'd be just like, "I don't care. You know, whatever happens here, happens here. I'll never say a word." And they were talking, telling me stories and everything else. So toward the end of the evening, probably the biggest guy in the room, it was this doctor, and he was older. And he had been pounding him all night. I mean, he was three sheets, you know. And finally he turns to me and he says, and slurred the words too. And he goes to me, "Don't ever get sick." And I looked at him and all the doctor stopped, right? Watching my face as he said it. I go, "What'd you say?" And he goes, "Don't ever get sick." And I go, "Why?" He goes, "We make mistakes all the time." And the other doctors are looking, I just pat him on the back. I said, "Have another drink." "Just leave me alone." You know, I don't know if he was busting me or not. I don't know if he's blowing off steam. I really don't know. But my point being is that you can see why I'm a little nervous about my colonoscopy, because you know, I mean, they're human beings, and they're pressurized. And I told Doc, I said, "I don't know how you do your job." And he turns to me and goes, "You handle people's money. I don't know how you do your job." So, you know, there's a mutual respect there. We really care about him. We'll get back on the next item. We've got a lot to talk about today. Dennis O'Brien. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Southeastern Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement Group, www.obrienretire.com. During the week, 860-415-9614. All right, back to my checkup. So anyway, I had a checkup scheduled two months before, but I was scared to go because I'd been eating like a pig, okay? And I was stress eating, you know, watching the games at night, whatever I'm doing. I was on a big Yankee run because I love this young Yankee team. And So I'd be hitting the fridge, cookies, you know, just having fun, right? And I rediscovered Kit Kat bars. Oh my God, I love those things. So anyway, I gained some weight and I wasn't proud. So I knew my checkup was coming. So I said, you know, I'm going to put it back because I need to get my act together. So I basically put it back, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. And about 4 weeks ago, Lori was down visiting her sister. And I was sort of alone Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. She was helping them move a lot of stuff and whatnot, you know, sisters. So Sunday morning, I woke up and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to see how long I can go today without eating. Okay. So I was watching the NFL football games, red zone, whatever. And, you know, as the day went on, you know, I was getting like a little weird, creeped out, you know, because it was Saturday night I'd eaten. So Sunday morning, I woke up. I just had a cup of coffee. That afternoon, I had coffee, a little water. Sunday night came. I was a madman. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to see. Go. I get up Monday morning, go to the Y, actually work out. I couldn't do anything. I was just like, you know, oh, my God, I'm dying, right? You know, Monday went on and everything else. And I said, okay, Monday afternoon, I'll be 48 hours and I won't eat. Okay. So Monday night, I had a light meal. Lori came home Tuesday. And I started not eating breakfast, more just have a coffee in the morning and then have a nice lunch and a nice dinner. An interesting thing happened. The first fast period, I lost 6 pounds, okay, which you think is fantastic. I swear, though, 5 7/8 of it was water. As the sugars and the carbs and everything left my body, I gained maybe 2 pounds back, which was probably water from the salt that I started re-engaging food again. And then the following Saturday night came and I ate. She goes, you're going to do it again? And I go, yeah. So the next morning I got up, next 2 days. And then I lost maybe 4 pounds, but probably 2 pounds of it was water. And then I gained the 2 pounds back. And then the third week I did it. And so I've done it 3 weeks in a row. And Saturday night, tonight, will be my last meal for 48 hours. And all in all, net of the water weight and everything, I've lost about 10 or 11 pounds. But there's been some very interesting side effects. Number one, my mental acuity, sharpness, I think has increased. And I don't know why. I don't understand if it's increased hormones, something kicks in when you don't eat or whatnot. But I've noticed that I'm able to juggle a lot more balls. I'm able to read more attentively because I do a lot of reading for work. So I'm coming into the fourth week of doing the 48-hour fast, just coffee, tea, or water for that period and everything else. I don't recommend it for everybody, and I didn't read anybody. Nobody's telling me to do this. I just know myself. I'm all or nothing. If you put a plate of food in front of me, I'm going to eat it, okay? If you don't put a plate of food in front of me, I'm not going to eat it. So don't start me off. So I'm pretty good in that period and stuff like that. And you know, some of you know who Greg Allman is. And Greg Allman had a serious drug and alcohol problem for decades, okay? And Greg Allman he went to rehab. I met the drummer for the Allman Brothers, J-Mo, at Kitchen Little, which is a little breakfast place in Mystic in one of the boatyards one day. And we got down to talk. His wife was there. She's very kind and gracious. And we got talking about Greg, and he told me, he said, Greg went to rehab 14 times, okay? 14 times with no help to him. And he said, you know how he beat it? He decided for himself how he was going to do it. And what he did was he hired the largest male nurse he could find, the meanest, biggest male nurse he could find, and had him guard the door for a week. And he helped him to the bathroom and flush out all the crap that was in it. And I had sugar in my system and carbs. Imagine what Greg Allman had in his system, you know. So that's the way he did it. And 10 days later, he came out, and he was clean and stayed clean. Unfortunately, his liver, he needed a liver transplant, had hepatitis, you know, had some serious, serious health problems. If he had done it 20 years sooner, he would have been fine probably, but it was he got cancer in the liver, and eventually it came back. It left 3 or 4 years. He toured a lot, and then eventually came back, and he passed away earlier this year. So My point being is, if you're going to lose weight or stop drinking or stop overspending, you're going to have to decide on a method that works for you. You can take all the advice in, but you have to decide for you the best way to do things. So that's how the 5-2 eating plan started. I'll give you updates. I'm going to work into it through Christmas and see how it goes. But right now, I'm feeling very good, and the 48-hour period isn't fun. It isn't easy. But either food, alcohol, whatever your vice is, controls you, or you control it. So, you know, once again, retirement life and investing, we're not talking too much about investing or retirement yet. We're talking about life, you know. But I see a lot of people out there that are losing the fight with food and need to grab hold of it. And they got to figure out their own way of doing it, okay? And this was my way. And I don't know if it's gonna work out or not, but this is what I'm trying. This week I heard from my University of Florence, Italy interns who I had, who both were skinny Winnies, you know. They're both interns. They were interns with me. They're graduate finance students, and these kids are one of 15 picked in the country in this heavy quantitative program, heavy math and whatnot. And these kids are really bright, and I had a great time with them for 8 weeks going. But Barbara contacted me, told me that she's doing her master thesis on ETFs, which are the indexes I use quite a bit in my practice, put portfolios together. And she said the professors are extremely excited about the work she's doing because the ETF area is really exploding. And this is the low-cost indexes. And many of them, because active managers don't do as well as indexes, many people have turned to these. So she's doing her work on the underlying indexes and tracking errors, how well they follow the index. I know it's a little technical. She and Alessio are way smarter than me. She said I might get invited to speak in Florence. Their graduate programs are in English, the graduate finance programs. So that would be fascinating, just not in the summer. Because their temperatures in the summer are 95 degrees, and they don't really believe in air conditioning. So I would be dying and whatnot. But it got me reading. It got me thinking about Italy a little bit, and I just want to touch on this. I read an article about Florence and some of the wealthiest families there, and many of the names of the Florence wealthiest families from the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries are still the wealthiest families in Florence. How does that happen? Why? What made this come to be? And mainly, why in 2002, 2009, when the markets crashed around the world, okay, why didn't Italy's stock market come back? What was the reason for it? And I think I'm on to something, because I think that their elites invest differently than ours, and their tax codes really favor their method of investing. What happens in Italy is they never had an estate tax. They didn't have an estate tax. Okay. They put a small one in since euro has been formed and they're part of the euro. They never had property taxes. They've put a small one in since. So if you can hold buildings, pass it on to your kids and grandkids with no estate tax, have no property taxes, so all your rents go right to you if they're paid off. That's a sure way of building wealth. So the elites in Italy own real estate. They own rental properties. They own houses. They own real estate, and they're hardly taxed on it. So when their stock market went down, they don't really care. They didn't care. Where here in this country, everybody has a 401k and has stocks and ETFs and indexes or whatever in their 401k, everybody cares here. But in Italy, the wealthy elites, they don't invest in their stock market. They invest in their real estate because it's so tax advantageous to them. And once they own it forever. Think about it. They went through World War I. They've gone through World War II. They still own it. You know, and everything that was destroyed was rebuilt and whatnot. But it's fascinating. You got to know how the elites, you got to know the tax code in any country to know what's really going on. So just a small topic. Another topic I want to talk about is widows and widowers, but mainly widows, because let's face it, the gals outlive the guys. You know, it's just the way it is. And you know, through the years, I've heard stories about friends and clients about widows who've gone through a lot of money after their husband died. I just heard one this week. I heard one a couple of years ago, and it just got me thinking and talking about it. If you have a long-standing marriage, 30, 40, 50 years, and grandpa dies and grandma's alone, okay, sometimes grandma is going to have a very, very hard time, especially if grandpa controlled the purse at the time. Sometimes in her depression and loneliness, she'll start gambling. She'll go to the casino. One friend of mine, a mystic, his mom went through probably $500,000 before he caught on what she was doing. He had got a large settlement from the asbestos claims. You see them advertised on TV all the time, but a lot of people in this area worked at shipyards when asbestos was flying around the subs, and nobody knew back in the 50s what the danger was. So he got a large settlement. Unfortunately, when Grandpa died, Grandma went through quite a bit of money, just bored, depressed, you know, lonely and whatnot. This week, I met a gal, and she was telling about her mother just filed chapter bankruptcy because after Dad died, she just started spending, you know, to make herself happy, cheerful. So, you know, keep an eye on a family member if they're alone like that. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's something that when a big change comes, when I get a widow in the office and we're trying to consolidate everything, the main thing for me is don't make any major decisions for a year. Sit back. Let's just consolidate everything. Let you get back on your feet again. Let me keep an eye on you. I'll talk to the kids if you want them included. But at least we have a team around you and people working together to help you. You can never fill in that spot emotionally of a spouse in a long-standing marriage like that. There's no way. I mean, but there's things that can be done. Dennis O'Brien, we'll talk to you at the next segment. Thank you. Southeastern Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement. After 37 years of being a financial advisor, we were talking about mom or grandma who loses her spouse and how no major decisions should be made, suffering depression and whatnot. I found that keeping a close eye on them, call them every day, if they belong to a church, I know, these old-fashioned rules that our mom, dad, grandma, grandpas, if they belong to a church, it's a huge benefit because the people in the church will reach out. The pastor, the minister, the priest, the rabbi, they'll reach out. Having that support group in a community is huge, huge for that person. So don't forget, that is, reach out to them if you can. I have, you know, 5 or 6 widows. I constantly just stay in touch with them, whether they have accounts with me or not, just to say, how you doing? Everything all right? Have you heard from your son? You know, that type of thing. Haven't heard from your son? Really? What's his number? Let's harass him. You know, call your mother. You know, I mean, I'm not shy. I'll tell him and whatnot. All right. Let's shift gears a little bit. This show called Retirement Life and Investing really has three goals, and it forced me to think about it this week. The first goal is to show younger people and some older how they can become automatic millionaires. And we've talked about it in previous shows, I'm sorry, and we'll talk about it more in depth a little later. Number 2, help retirees throw off income and invest so they can keep up with inflation. Real estate taxes, food, gasoline, everything goes up and up. And since the average retiree is going to live 20 or 30 years, you better invest so you have enough income coming in and also hedge for inflation, which means growth, which means stocks. Well, we'll talk about that too. Number 3, help you pass on a knowledge inheritance as well as financial inheritance to your children and grandchildren. Giving your kids or grandkids money without teaching them about automatic savings, about how to handle money, how to handle leakage, how to handle yourself is a waste of time. most wealthy families within two generations are broke again because they didn't pass on the knowledge inheritance. And that's probably my favorite part of David Sachs's book, Automatic Millionaire, which you can buy for $8 on Amazon. Every newlywed couple should be given this book at their wedding, saying this is how, this is what you do and how you handle things. So we'll talk about that. Had a doctor, a friend of mine, he came in a few days ago and he was telling me, he goes, you know, you told me something 5 or 10 years ago and it's always stayed with me. He goes, I keep changing my wills and my paperwork, or I keep thinking about how I'm going to do it. Cause one of my kids is really good with money. One is learning, getting better. And the third one's absolutely horrible. And so that's a common problem because siblings are going to be different. Kids are going to be different. So he talked about it, and he said, one thing you always told me, he goes, stayed with me. He goes, you've always told me you can't control them from the grave. They are going to do what they are going to do. All right. Unless they're special needs and you can set up a conservatorship or guardianship and help someone get them, you know, but that has to be proven and whatnot. So, you know, that's very, very important. Another very wealthy guy in the borough told me one time, he says, my kids hate me. This guy is worth megabucks, right? I go, why do your kids hate you? Oh, they say, you know, they don't have money. They're always complaining. They're just waiting for me to die, blah, 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 blah. I go, well, they probably are, you know, to be honest, if, you know. I said, can I give you an idea? And he says, what? I go, have a family meeting. I'll host it if you want. We'll go through and you lay out what everybody's going to get, when they're going to get it, and you're going to start gifting right away. Start gifting. Include them in what you want to do. Talk about money. I know Americans, we don't talk about money, and we should. So talk about it. Talk about what you have, what you're going to do. Lay it all out for them, stuff like that. And he did it. And guess what? Holidays are fantastic. The kids are calling them all the time. Everybody's pulling the same way. Trust has been reestablished. Love was always there, but now trust has been reestablished in that family. So I'm glad I could help, you know, because guess what? These are the things you need to talk about and whatnot, because it's very, very important. Passing on that knowledge inheritance and whatnot. Now, many families have special needs children, and that's a very, very important topic. They did a study, and they said the more talented the father, the higher IQ of the father, the chances of having a special need child rise dramatically. So many successful fathers, high net worth fathers, they have a special need child. They don't understand why. There's books being written on it. I'm reading them because I'm kind of interested in DNA and what happens and whatnot. So when you're a special needs child, and I define the special needs as someone who's intellectually challenged, needs help with the basic, you know, can't make change, doesn't know what things cost, can be a wonderful, you know, learn how to cook, learn how to do things, but needs help and whatnot. You have, when that child approaches 18, you've got to go to the probate court and get guardianship. Because once that child is 18 or over, nobody's going to accept your caretakingship of that child, okay, for medical, financial. You have to have a guardianship established. You have to go to the probate court and get guardianship and have a backup guardian, too, for that child. That child's still in your house. That child's still your baby, okay? And maybe you're in your 50s and 60s, but what you have to do is get a guardianship of that special needs child, and that's a very important thing to do. And have a trusted backup guardian in case something happens to you. Because they're the person that's going to have to take care of the money, make sure they're cared for, loved, and whatnot within the family. Some families do it, but since you're dealing with outside parties, third parties, medical or financial reasons, you have to have guardianship set up, okay? So for the special needs child. And I know attorneys in the area that can help you do it. And for seniors that can't take care of themselves, they can set up conservatorships with his money given out, and the probate judge makes sure the conservative is doing a good job for them. So that needs to be done. Now, one of the things, I'm going to rant a little bit here, but one of my pet peeves in the financial publications, everything you read in the financial area, they invariably say you don't need a financial advisor. You can simply go to Vanguard, Fidelity, E-Trade, Schwab, and go do your thing, and who needs a financial advisor? And they are all fine companies and do a very good job and have excellent technology. Don't get me wrong. I like them. But, okay, the things they can't do is they'll never call you if they get nervous about the market. They'll never call you and tell you you need to get a good CPA. They'll never call you and say, hey, you need to upgrade your documents. They'll never call you and say, didn't you get divorced? Don't you need to change who your beneficiary is on your $300,000 IRA? Do you still want it to be your ex-wife? You'll never be able to sit across from the desk from them and really they know you and you know them. They'll never be able to say to your child, let's start automatic savings, or your spouse that survives you. You have a team in place. There's a lot of things that those companies cannot do. Okay. And so I always tell the story about this dog, another doctor who, when he first started in the business, came to me. And he was in the Navy, came out of the Navy, and started making a lot of money as a doctor. He says, I don't know what to do. I'm 30, 32. I've got a young family. What do I do? I said, this is how you set it up. Here's your retirement plan. Here's the CPA you should go to. Here's the insurance agent you should go to. And eventually we'll set up the lawyer to set up your finance, everything. I put a whole team around him. Try to get Fidelity, Vanguard, E-Trade, or Schwab to do that for you. And to this day, he thanks me because his net worth is now in the millions and everything was set up the right way the first time. He didn't make all the dumb mistakes that many doctors do and buy stupid limited partnerships, things he didn't understand. And some doctors, they back in the day, they used to go crazy buying stuff they didn't understand. So one more story. I got approached by a young contractor that was redoing landscaping at my building in the office I rent. And he says, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no. He goes, I did your pathway in their backyard 15 years ago. And he said, you told me I was doing the wrong thing because he was buying all new equipment. He was excited. I said, you're going to go broke. So he listened, and I told him, sell all that new equipment, go to auctions, buy everything for cash, and run the business with no debt. And that's what he did, and he's flourished since. And he goes, I forgot your name and number, he said, years ago. He goes, I ran into you, and I've wanted to thank you for 15 years. So these are some of the things that happen that Schwab, they can't do that for you. It's a different type of relationship. We'll talk to you on the next one. Dennis O'Brien, bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien, O'Brien Retirement Group, www.obrienretired.com. If you want my retirement 10 commandments, just leave me an email at my website, obrienretired.com. If you have any questions, you want to sit down and talk, it doesn't cost you a dime, 860-415-9614. Hey, I recently joined a networking group. Nice group of people. Looking forward to working with them. I've never joined one before, so it's going to be interesting. So it's one of those adventures where you got to keep growing, and let's see what happens. So let's talk about the markets a little bit. Stock market, bond markets, everything else in the world. People with money, people who want to have money. This week I got excited. I found a new ETF I'm interested in buying. I haven't decided when or how much, but I am going to probably start putting money into Global X Robotics and Artificial Intelligence ETF. There's 28 companies in the world. I saw three U.S. companies and probably the rest Japanese or whatnot. These are the companies working on robotics and artificial intelligence. And I know it sounds very esoterical and everything else, but Walmart announced that they're putting in robots in 50 stores. So guess what's coming? your trucks on the road. You go into McDonald's in China or Japan, parts of Europe, you don't even talk to a person. Just go up to a big machine and order. Push a button. You go into a car factory these days. You know why cars have so much better quality than when we were in our 20s back in the day? Robots. The welds are perfect. Everything's perfect. So this is coming. Oil. Oil's starting to bottom out, starting to make new highs. Oil ETF. I'm getting that little feeling in the back of my neck. Keep an eye on it. Facebook had earnings this week. Tremendous earnings. Everybody hates Facebook stock. Meanwhile, it's gone from 18 at the low, and now it's 178, which is crazy, you know? What else is going on? The internals of the market. My mathematical program tells me we are going much, much higher. Very, very strong internals. The buy-sell ratio has been flirting with 2-1, which is very bullish. So I don't know if it's Trump. I don't know what it is. The tax plan, everybody's asking me, what do you think of the tax plan? If the whole key to the tax plan as it relates to the markets is on the private side, he's going to take money away from some people and give it to others, blah, 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 blah. The key to that plan is the corporate tax rate. If the corporate tax rate's cut down to 15 to 20, the stock market's going to go a lot higher, okay? And they're not sure it's going to happen. That's why they're hedging their bet a little bit. That's the key to the stock market and whatnot. This week, I had a young teacher come in and set up an automatic millionaire plan starting at 10%. 23 years old, he's putting away 10% of his salary. Every time he gets paid, 10% of it goes automatically out of his checking account into his brokerage account with me. And when he gets a few thousand dollars, we'll start investing it for him. And since he's young, I'll probably start buying the Millennium stocks, you know, the ones that are going to do very well as the Millenniums take over our economy and whatnot. So the other area I've been talking about to people about is for young couples paying off their credit cards and start creating automatic savings. The other thing is start cash envelopes. So when your car goes on the blink, you have a few hundred in the cash envelope to pay for it. Putting money in cash envelopes is a great system for people, especially starting out, okay? And if you're retiring or about to retire, I want you to pay off your mortgage. I don't care about the mortgage deduction. I don't want you to have the payment. The payment could be worth another pension, as far as I'm concerned. So I want your mortgages paid off and before you retire, and that's one of the rules I push. Last week we talked about immigrants and how they're better savers and why. And like some of my friends who have immigrated from other countries said, hey, we've seen real poverty. We're scared. We don't want to go back to that. They have family networks they can borrow from. They don't believe in borrowing from the bank down the street, your neighborhood-friendly bank. And when they borrow from family, best guess what? They pay them back real quick, real quick, because they don't want dirty looks at the family gatherings. And they also, many of them support family back home, and some of them don't know how long they're going to be here, so they try to accumulate as much money, and then eventually if they do get married here and start a family here, they're going to stay for the most part. But that's part of it, too. You know, more and more I look at TV and the consumerism, I believe that we're being manipulated to spend money and eat bad food. If you don't believe me, just watch an NFL football games and tell me how many Taco Bell and Kentucky Fried Chicken ads come on. It's, you know, I'm very sensitive to this, by the way, on my 48-hour fast on Sundays. So I'm really paying attention to it and everything else. The other fallacy, you need a great credit rating, so you need to use credit cards. Oh, boy. Just start the cash envelopes. Use the card occasionally, you know, for gas or if you travel, but pay it off right away. Stop worrying about your credit rating. People that brag about their credit ratings, brag about how much money you got in the bank. Credit rating. I think everything's ass backwards some days. Debit card use, it leads to great leakage. Remember we talked about leakage? That daily spending that you do, two packs a day, lunch, a couple of lattes, will cost you about $40 a day or $15,000 a year. $15,000 a year. You could be blown just on daily leakage. That's what I call it. Everything you spend, write it down or have the wife write it down off the debit card. Put it on the refrigerator door. After a couple of weeks and everything, your behavior will start to modify because you'll see what you're blowing, okay? So have the wife write it down. You write it down for her. Whoever the spender is, whoever's creating the leakage, let's start working on that, okay? So if you start saving, what do you buy? Well, it depends on your age. Older people, I buy them ETFs with good income. Treasury ETFs, I get 2%. Preferreds ETFs, which have hundreds of preferred stocks in them, I get 5.5%. Oil MLP, the Master Limited Partnership, I get 8 to 9% on those. And the real estate REIT ETFs, which have hundreds of REITs in them, I get closer to 10%. I like to blend everything, so I get some safety at the 2. I get some risk at the 10. But overall, if I can get 6, I'm happy. Now, bear in mind, these are investments. They go up and down, okay? I'm not your friendly neighborhood bank paying you 0.25% on your money. I'm paying you more, and there's a reason for it. But I try to blend the risk as much as I can and whatnot. If you're younger, 40 and under, I'm going to try to talk you into buying the Millennium stocks. They're just starting. Ignore the market and just keep buying. These companies are run by the top 5% managers out there. Remember baseball, Hall of Famers, top 5% of baseball players are Hall of Famers. I want Hall of Fame business managers. And out of the 7,700 publicly traded companies, how much is that? That's, what, 300 companies run by Hall of Famers, guys that know what they're doing, gals like Mary Dillon running Ultra. She's brilliant, okay? Zuckerberg, you don't like Zuckerberg? I don't care. He's brilliant. I'm not asking you to have coffee with him. But if you're going to give your money to somebody, you want to give it to a dummy or you want to give it to a smart guy. This guy's brilliant. They are the elite. And I'll give you a list, if you want, of the companies I follow I think are run by 5%ers. Okay? Finally, if you become one of my elite clients, someone who's a little sophisticated, knows what they're doing, I'll actually buy you tacticals. My tacticals are ETFs that, after a long decline, are starting to show signs of life. Everything's a cycle. Some of the industries run way up. Some of them run way down, but they always come back. Industries come back. Sometimes companies don't, but industries do. That's why we buy the index and the ETF. So, and the potential gains can be very, very large short term if you buy them right. But you got to watch your moving averages, and I'll teach you about the daily, the 50-day, and the 200-day. They all have to crisscross on the upside, and I'll show you on my computer how that works. You can leave your money in the bank where it's safe and earning nothing after inflation and taxes, or consider investing in the smart way. That's really up to you. The other thing I stress is working with CPAs. A CPA's worth is weight in gold. Don't be cheap. Spend the $200, $300, $400 on a good CPA. They almost always pay for themselves and the stuff they find in the knowledge of tax law. I know the good ones. So if you need a good CPA referral, let me know. Estate elder care attorneys, they are very valuable for planning. Okay, you got kids, they're all different. So, and I believe in bringing your kids with you and sitting down and talking about money. The big thing in this country, and I think they've gotten us by the you-know-what, is we don't talk about money. Grandparents, parents, kids, they should be all talking about money. Should tell bed stories about money. Teach the kids. Money's not the root of all evil. It's in a unit exchange we use to exchange goods and services. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't sin, okay? It's not the root of all evil. Talk about it. Teach your kids. It's something we don't do. Your kids are starving for knowledge on finances. Tell your mistakes. Teach them. If they just got married, get David Bach's book, Automatic Millionaire, which is $8 on Amazon. I mentioned before, it'll change their life and yours if you let it, okay? And finally, I want to talk about Connecticut and what needs to be done. No, I'm not going to run for governor, but if I did run for governor, I promise you within 5 years I could raise the value of your home 30 or 40%. And you're going to go, who does this guy think he is? And I'll tell you how I would do it. I would basically go through the Connecticut state budget and all those layers that they put in the last few years, I could easily cut out 20% of the fat. Okay. And then immediately I would cut 10% of our statewide taxes. And in the savings, I would give state aid to every town that so we could match Greenwich's 11 mil rate. If you cut Groton or New London's mil rate from 30, 40 down to 11, your house will boom in value. That's what happens. And you'll create an economic dynamo in this state you've never seen before. It can be done. People tell me it can't. I believe it can. We're too smart. We've been dumb a long time. Now it's starting to smarten up. You give Massachusetts and New York and these other states a run for their money. because people are leaving if you don't. So let's get on the ball. And finally, I'm going to read you something that an immigrant gave me, and it's called The American's Creed. And it just stuck with me, and I got a minute left, and I'm going to leave you with these words. American Creed, I do not choose to be a common man or woman. It's my right to be uncommon. I seek opportunity to develop whatever talents God gave me, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build, to fall or succeed. I refuse the bartered incentive for a dull. I prefer the challenges of life to a guaranteed existence, the thrill of Fort Millman, the still, calm utopia. Have a great week. Dennis O'Brien, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.